Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, August 20th, and it's our turn to talk. Good morning, Jen.
Morning, Sam.
Let's see. Well, we don't care about the weather, so we'll continue. No guests today,
nope.
Jen. But we're here. As always, you're reliable. You don't like the word servant, but...
No.
Okay, well, I'll be the servant.
Great.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah. So I've been contacted by a matchmaking agency, the TDL one, or TDR, whatever they call it.
The three-day rule?
Yeah. And because I put my information on their database. Because they, you know, we met them and stuff, so they encouraged me to add myself to the list, so I did. So they contacted me that they might want to fix me up with someone. So I'm going to meet with them. Now, my question is this. I mean, shouldn't I know at least something about the woman before I go on that, you know, to that meeting? Because
there is no girl yet.
I think there is, because why would they just interview you if you're on the database?
Because that's
randomly.
What their whole thing is but they screen you.
But it's been like a year or so.
Because maybe now they have somebody that might be like, or maybe like a couple clientele that might be
right
for you.
And that's what she said. So yeah. she said she might have someone. So that's what I'm saying. I mean,
well, I'll tell you how it goes.
Okay, tell me.
Okay,
because I don't know if it's worth it for me to even go to the meeting if
why
don't I
tell
what
you,
the woman looks like.
Why don't I tell you how it works?
Yeah.
And then you can decide.
Please do.
Great. So you meet with them and they vet you. Like, instead of you going on a first date with somebody, they talk to you and gauge your personality and see what you're looking for in the whole thing. What they then do is they will email you pictures of the person, or one picture, three pictures, whatever it is, and a description of the person. They'll say, would you like to go out with this person? Mm. And then you say yes or no.
Okay, so they need to know who you are beforehand.
Right.
Right. Okay. Well, actually, I mean, to their credit, I was going to... they actually contacted me a long time ago, but then the thing never materialized, and she sort of, like, let it go. So I did too, but... maybe they just got around to my name or something. I don't know. But yeah, I would definitely want to see what they look like before anything, you know, because, I mean, obviously pictures are important. But no, there's a couple of other things I like to know even before I went to the meeting with the matchmakers.
Uh-huh.
But maybe it's worth it. Like you said, if it's not someone specific, then it's worth it just to be there so they can have me on
right,
file.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So we'll see where that goes, you know.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about this.
Good.
Because I think if a woman takes the step to find someone, she's pretty serious.
Yeah.
You know.
But are you looking for somebody that's serious?
If the right one came along, yeah.
Great.
I think so. Yeah, I think I'm ready.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, I've been single for over 2 years, but... yeah, got some things out of my system and stuff. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying no, you know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm open. Yeah, I mean, look, all these apps and stuff I'm using, I'm hoping to find someone, you know.
Great.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, you know. But so that's going to happen tomorrow. So I guess I should go now that you explained to me how it works. Because I thought they had maybe someone specific in mind. And I thought, well, she'll get to see what I look like, and I don't know what she's like before I even go on the meeting. So, but now I understand.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And it's fun because I never done that before.
It's definitely different.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you go horseback riding last night?
Oh, good question. So she texted me that she was sick.
Oh.
And we have to reschedule.
Is there one person that works there?
Me. she's the owner, but no, there's a few people working there for her, I'm sure. But they just happened. So, yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen this weekend, whatever. So, what else did I... There was something I wanted to bring up. It'll probably come back to me. But I started reading the book by our guest, Corey Smith, because they have, like, samples online, like on Kindle and stuff, about credit and that. So it's very interesting. I mean, if you guys listened to the show a couple days ago, we got a lot of tips on how to fix your credit and up your score and everything, ways that are legal and that actually work. So I'm waiting for them to send me the book. They said they would. But in the meantime, I started reading on it, and the guy really knows what he's doing. I mean, he's really researched all these credit bureaus and stuff, and you realize how they really manipulate everything and everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so that should be good. The book is, what's it called? I forgot. The Credit of Chaos? No, something like that.
The Conspiracy of Credit.
Conspiracy of Credit. Thank you.
No prop.
I knew it started with a C. I wasn't sure. So Jimmy Carter has cancer, like we said. He says, well, it's in God's hands now. I want to talk negatively about him because I think he's an a-hole, but I'm not going to, because if he's close to death now, it's all elementary now.
I mean, he's 90 years old. I can't believe he's even having chemo at this time, or radiation.
That's true, huh? That's probably hard on the body.
Yep, but they're doing it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they can't just let a person die, I suppose. So they do whatever they can.
Right.
But, yeah. But that's a good attitude, you know? I mean, just like my dad says, you know, he's 82, and he says, look, I've lived 82 years. Whatever I get now is just a bonus. And, it's in God's hands, you know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine being that old, 90 years old? I mean, some people are not, like, sick. I mean, they're still healthy and everything, so they function. In fact, I ran into a family friend from some time ago, and I saw him 2 weeks ago. He's 90 years old. He looks great. He looks great, you know, so.
If I have the good fortune of living till then, I would.
You will embrace it.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Right. But not if you're sick, right? And people have to take care of you and
no,
stuff.
No, I don't want to be a burden to anyone, and I also don't want to feel awful every day of my life.
Yeah. But it's not in our hands. That's the thing, you know? I mean, you know, you're not okay. You're sick. You have to live with it. And I'm watching people suffering in pain, and it's not fun, you know? But we don't get a choice in that.
You just have to hope for the best and stay positive.
Yeah, that's true. If you can, stay positive, then definitely that's the way
that's
to
like
go.
A negative response to that. Sam, have you thought
it's
maybe...
It's a realistic one, okay?
I guess. You might need some more positivity in your life.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. Especially if you're going to start dating.
Why? What am I being negative about?
If you can stay positive,
right?
That's already a negative comment.
Why?
Because it's like doubting the fact that you can stay positive.
Yeah, because some people don't.
Okay. I'm going to leave that one alone.
Yeah.
Our listeners
all I'm saying
heard it
is
too.
it's easy to judge other people when you're not in their shoes. But I would imagine if you're like a cancer patient or something and you're really suffering, you know, I don't know if you'd be that positive. But you're right. I mean, somehow you probably have to find it inside of you to stay positive.
They say cancer is a disease of the spirit.
Mm. Okay. I hope I never have to face it.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. Did you hear about the new pill for women?
Yep.
They call it the female Viagra, but they're saying it's not.
Right.
It's something else. So for those of you who haven't heard, they came out with a pill that increases women's libido and their interest, or maybe not their interest in sex, but their... arousal or pleasure or whatever. So it was approved by the FDA, and but now, you know, there's controversy, of course, as there always is. And they're saying that, first of all, it's not like Viagra, and it doesn't work the same way. And they're saying that Viagra eliminates a physical problem for men, and men take it to get and keep an erection. And but this pill is called Eddie. How do you even pronounce that? Eddie doesn't treat a physical problem for women. Instead, it targets the chemicals in the brain. It improves in at least 37% of women who take it their sense of desire for the romantic partner. Wow.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But that's pretty revolutionary. Wow. This will be, okay, so this will not be a cure-all for women not all that into sex. So, you know, I guess this is the same as with Viagra. I mean, if you're not aroused, it's not going to do anything for you. Because it actually, like, you know, when the blood goes into your member, then it kind of keeps it there. You know, but this is something else that works on the brain.
Right.
So that's interesting to hear. They're saying it'll make some women nymphos. They're saying that's not the case. It doesn't make you hypersexual. So it's not an aphrodisiac, they say. So I don't know exactly what it is, but they're saying everything of what it's not. So they're saying it's not something you'll be able to use on unsuspecting women. So I suppose here the
woman... You can't, like, drug someone with it.
Right, yeah. Because I guess that... I assume the woman would probably want to have a sexual desire in order to for this to work. Yeah, it says they remain conscious and aware of their surroundings. So it's not like those date rape drugs.
It's so crazy, like, the things that they make, like, medicine-wise or, like, vitamin-wise, mm-hmm. and how targeted it is for certain things. Like, how can they find in the body what will target, like, a pain? Like, right. What if my pain is in one place in my arm? Like, how does the medicine find that pain?
Right. That's amazing, huh?
Yeah.
I know. I've thought about that, too. And some medication, like, sometimes it's, like, time-released, you know, that's pretty neat also, where you take a pill and it, like, keeps acting, but later on.
Well, I think that makes more sense to me than, like, targeted pain, because the medicine goes into your body and, like, works over. It's, like, going through your system.
No, but I'm saying that they're calling it time release. So, in other words, there's medicine that works right away.
No, I understand. That, to me, though, I think is more like...
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, I feel like that makes more sense to me as something they can create than something that's like, I have this odd pain in my body or an odd ailment that this one pill will target in your whole body system. Right. It will find your one toe that hurts, and it will make that one toe feel better.
Yeah.
But what about my other nine toes? Like, why don't they feel, like, so much better? Like, how does that one toe feel better and the rest aren't affected?
Because the other ones don't hurt. Maybe it's just for hurt. It's not for feeling
better.
How
does the pill find the hurt?
Well, no. It probably goes to all the toes, but you're only feeling it in the one that's hurting.
I guess.
But still, I mean, but targeting the toes, you're right. You know, like they have like fungus medicine, for example.
Right.
How does it know to go to the toes? Yeah, you're right.
Well, you mean like one you swallow versus one you like rub
right,
on?
Right, yeah.
Like
yeah.
an antibiotic or
right.
something?
Right, yeah, because they have pills for that right. too. So, yeah, I guess that's the first thing I can think of. But
yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of other things. But, yeah, it's amazing, you know. But that's why also you often have side effects, because it does affect other parts of the body. Everything affects something else, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So I went again to this new pizza place called Medici. Did I tell you about it?
Yeah, a couple times. You seem
really?
To really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went there. And it's a pretty cool place. I think they only have one. It's out here in Sherman Oaks. And
you're lucky you can eat pizza.
I guess.
I wish I could eat pizza.
Really? Not even occasionally you won't
no.
eat any?
I mean, rarely. Very rarely.
Maybe like a couple slices.
My know. Uncle orders pizza for family dinner sometimes. But other than that, not really.
You don't go out of your way for pizza?
No.
Oh, wow. Yesterday I ended up having two pizzas, actually, because my parents wanted pizza, so I got them some and we ate. And then at night I went out with someone and they wanted pizza, so we went to Medici. And so, the whole day was filled with pizza.
Yum.
But I love pizza. It's
I cool. do, too.
And they have good salads and everything. Yeah, it's pretty good. And then there's this... so then we went for... dessert at the churro place I told you about.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What a healthy day.
I know. I'm telling you. Isn't it amazing that I don't even have to worry or think about these things? I just eat, you know? I mean, the point is, I don't eat a lot between meals. So I don't, like, snack or nosh or any of these things, you know? I just eat meals. So I think that's why I don't really gain weight, you know, because it doesn't matter what I eat. I don't put in that many calories in, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the situation there. But, no, it's nice not to ever think about, should I eat this, not, shouldn't I eat this, and how is it going to affect my weight and things like that.
That is nice.
Yeah.
So yeah. Were you on a date?
No, it's someone I know. Someone I know.
A friend?
So it's not a date, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Someone I know, yeah. That's,
yeah,
could be, well, anybody. Just an acquaintance.
Well, okay, well, I don't know why I said it, because it's a woman I know. It's so it's not like a date, really.
Is that woman, you know, not a friend?
Yeah.
So you can call her a friend?
Okay, I'll call her a friend. Went out with a friend.
Great.
But the chews within the tail end side, man, you got to try that.
I mean, you're
it
just
comes
like
out hot,
me.
You know, really?
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
It comes out hot. And
so that's where they hide this food. It's in the valley.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're opening a lot of cool places. Although the downtown Sherman Oaks needs a lot of, needs a big facelift. That's what it needs. Because it's a beautiful area, only a couple blocks, but there's a lot of businesses that are just old and they're not making it and stuff. They just make the whole place look ugly. So, but then they put a lot of new restaurants there. So maybe they'll do something with that.
Well, that will be nice. They're building a lot of things in West Hollywood too.
Yeah.
On Sunset and La Cienega, they're building like a new hotel.
That's true. Yeah. Right on the corner there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're going to be like monstrosities.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to like...
So all the people that had views, they are now not going
right,
to have views
exactly.
anymore. Right,
exactly. Wow. Those hotels will have great views, but...
Yeah. But now the people living on the hills right next to
right,
them.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry for their property value.
Yeah. I know.
But it'll be nice for like new restaurants that they put in and things like that. It won't be great for traffic, of course, because that area is highly populated.
That's true. There's a lot going on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. It's a happening place. Santa Monica Boulevard, too, in West Hollywood. Very busy.
Yep.
Very busy. A lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else is going on, Jen? Any news on your end there that we can discuss?
Shannon Doherty has breast cancer. But I don't know if we want to overwhelm the population with with cancer today.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's 44. She's known for her role on 90210.
Right.
And so she's been battling with breast cancer for a little bit now.
Wow. Always sad to hear about that.
It's just crazy because, like, at what point do you feel free and clear? Like, when do you feel like you're healthy enough? When do you feel like maybe you've missed the hump where you'd get it? Or like, what did you do to get it? Or, you know, it pops up randomly.
Right.
So you can't prepare. You don't, it's, like, unexplainable.
Yeah.
But, I mean, then you just have to stay positive, have family and friends around you, good doctors, take care of yourself. And
that's true. And, the instinct to survive and to live is pretty strong in people, you know. So when you're healthy, you're not depressed or anything, then you want to hang on to life, and regardless of whether you're sick or not.
Yeah, and I mean, I would guess if you're going to the doctor and they're giving you solutions, you're going to be a little more positive than just hearing that you have right. cancer, because you're going to hear, okay, I can have surgery, I can do chemo, I can do whatever. There are people that have survived. You become hopeful. You become immersed in it. And then, you know, you just hope for the best. You can't just get it and be like, woe is me. I'm going to die.
Right.
So
yeah, I know.
You can still live a long life. There's many people that are cancer survivors in the world.
That's true, huh?
Yeah.
So is that usually like from chemotherapy that they get okay? I mean, what other means are there to stop
that they get okay?
Cancer? Yeah.
They have surgery. They remove it. They remove the tumor or the abscess, and then...
So how come sometimes they don't and they choose chemotherapy? Because what, it spreads too much or something? Or
yeah, I think there's like ones that you can't remove because it's inoperable or wherever it is, or that it's spread and that you have to actually like kill it with radiation. I think,
right.
I mean, like my uncle had cancer, and I think it was he had it removed and also had radiation to make sure it wasn't anywhere else or that it wouldn't come back.
I see. And then in places like blood cells and stuff, I imagine you can't really remove that, you know. So you
right. I mean, I don't know that much about cancer, but...
Yeah, I know.
I know that you can live.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
But I know there is leukemia, which is cancer of the blood, isn't
right.
it? Yeah, so, yeah, they can't really remove that unless they do a transfusion or something. I don't know. All that sounds like really gross to me. I don't know how people can do that. Like doctors and...
Like stuff, transfusions? You
know. Yeah. And, well, that and surgeries and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I salute people that can do this. Yeah, I couldn't work with somebody's
squeamish.
Inside. Yeah.
Got it. I understand.
Squeamish. Okay, I could have said just one word and then we could have gone home.
No, I mean, you said that all of that's gross to you. I'm like, saving people, cancer's gross. Which part, blood, which part is he talking about that's gross? Oh, all the medical field. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, you have to decipher what I say.
That's why sometimes I'm just like, hold on. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah.
So apparently now you can search the Ashley Madison cheaters list.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, so...
And not on the dark web anymore.
No. Well, yeah, it's pretty dark. But yeah. You have to, like, you have to access it.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of sites and everything.
Yeah.
That's pretty
cool.
You
can plug in the name or email address, and you find out who signed up for the service.
Wow.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Did you find anybody you know?
I didn't look.
Oh, okay.
I'm not married.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I guess I could sit there if I really wanted to find out bad things about people I know, type in people's names that I know are married.
Right.
And then I could also then tell their spouses in case they didn't look and break the bad news to them.
Right. But is that your responsibility?
No, of course not. That's why I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Cool.
It's out there. Yeah. Some people also would rather turn, you know, have a blind eye to like things that they might know are going on. They'd rather ignorance is bliss. Mm-hmm. So
that's true.
If that's their prerogative, I'm not going to tell them.
Right.
They could go look all on their own.
Yeah.
Now it's out there for them.
But I'm also thinking, you know, people go on the website. Maybe not all of them cheated. Maybe they want to, but, you know, it may not have happened. So I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Also, you have to wonder about their intentions for going on the website.
Right.
I don't know. Mm. Wouldn't be. I mean, I would be upset. If I were married, I'd probably look just to see.
Yeah.
And feel bad for the people that are dealing with this. I'm sure we'll hear more about it. I wonder if there are any celebrities on there.
Yeah, who
knows? I'm sure that will leak immediately.
Right. There are, I mean, they're saying there's like government addresses, and because you can search by email address too. So they're finding a lot. But it's like apparently all over the world. It's not just America.
Yeah.
I mean, they have like maps and stuff. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, Ashley Madison, I guess, is over. So somebody did manage to bring them down to their knees. But that's scary to me, you know, because every business is vulnerable to this stuff. And you get just like hackers that you could probably never catch them. And they just do things to damage people. But, I mean, think of the power that it gives them, you know. How can you resist, I guess, bringing down a business like that?
I don't know. I would love to interview the hackers, but, you know, they're anonymous, so
right.
How do we find them? But I'd love to know if one of them was, like, spurned by their wife and that's what led them on, or if the hacker was a girl and she was like, my husband just cheated on me and I'm going to help all the women out there. Like, who knows? There had to be some kind of, like, motive involved, so I'm curious as to what that is.
Right, but I guess that person saw themselves as the savior or something, you know?
I don't know. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
We don't know why.
That's going to be a lot of damage, man. A lot of damage. Wow. It's worse than the Sony hack, I think. This is going to destroy families.
Right. And it's more people, so.
Yeah. Yeah. How many million?
32. Well,
32 million people.
Yeah.
Wow.
First of all, the fact that there are 32 million people out there that signed up for one website, A, shows you how many cheaters there are in the world.
Right.
And also how successful that business even was.
Right. But they're saying, I mean, I don't think it's a surprise that a lot of people cheat. I mean, I don't know what the percentages are that I've read, but apparently, you know, many people do cheat.
It seems that way.
Surprise, yeah. It's not a surprise.
I mean, I would assume that there are lots of people that cheat. I would like to hope that there are more people that don't cheat. I mean, right. Clearly there's more than 32 million people out there. But to have a number, an actual number of that size, is still astounding.
Yeah.
If it were even hundreds of thousands, I would still think that's a lot of people.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I'd love to talk to the owner now, because we've talked to him before. He was actually on the show, on the phone.
Well, maybe we should talk to him.
Yeah. Except I don't think he's going to want to do interviews.
No, I highly doubt it.
But at one point, and we asked him, you know, I mean, don't you think there's anything wrong with it? And
what did he say? He's just giving people what they want.
This whole thing. Yeah.
It's obviously a market for it, but does it mean you should do it? No. There's a market for selling drugs. Should you still be a drug dealer?
Right. I don't know. I guess it's a pretty universal thing that cheating is not a cool thing to do. So
there's nothing cool about it.
Yeah. But people should have the freedom to do what they want.
Well,
you know,
aren't there limits to that?
Who decides what the limits are?
There are laws.
No, but this is not against the law to cheat.
Isn't it adultery? And don't you get divorced because of it? And then don't you lose like certain like arguments within your divorce because
you've
cheated?
But it's not illegal. I mean, they can't put you in jail for
cheating. They can't put you in jail, but it's obviously not right.
So okay, but that's what I'm saying. It's your opinion. You know, I mean, you want to put limits, but what are the limits? And free enterprise, free speech.
Also, the public judges you. So, I mean, I think that's,
yeah,
you know, laws enough because you have to deal with people looking at you now.
Right.
The public court.
Yeah. The court of public opinion, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So listen to this now. I mean, everybody's debating the Iran deal and stuff. Now, apparently, there's going to be a part here where the Iranians inspect their own nuclear plants. Now, I mean, what do you say about this? I mean, does this even make sense? How do leaders of countries, of nations, do these things? I mean, you don't let the person that's guilty inspect and verify what he's doing.
Right.
That doesn't work that way. So, I mean, I'm trying to read in the whole article what I'm missing here. And I don't get it. You know? And this is a plan that people have been worried about. They wanted him to close down. And, yeah. You know, people are saying, why should Iran be trusted to carry out its own nuclear inspections at a military site it tried to hide from the world?
Right.
Yeah.
So how did it even come up that that was an option for them?
Because they're saying it's sort of like a side agreement that was not disclosed, you know. Yeah. I don't know, but there's a lot of critics on this, and I'm waiting
as
to see
there
how
should
the
be.
Vote. Yeah, I'm waiting to see how the vote will turn out. It's really interesting.
When are they voting on this?
Soon. When are they voting on this? I don't know. Within a couple months or so, I think it's going to Congress, and then they're going to vote. Then it'll go to the president, and he'll veto it, and then it can jump back to Congress, and if they get 2/3, then they override the president. That's how it works. And I love our government. I love our way of government because here you go. You have people from hundreds of years ago figuring out how to actually run government and have checks and balances on each other so there's no corruption. I mean, we won't say we don't have corruption in our government, but it's nothing anywhere near what you get in other countries and stuff. And the fact that they thought of freedom of speech and all that stuff. And now they're trying to define the 14th Amendment, I think, which talks about people that are born in the U.S. getting U.S. citizenship. So now there's a whole debate, and of course with Trump and that, about what they call, what did they call them? Something babies? Let me see if I can find that real quick. But they're, apparently what happens is, you know, you have many illegal immigrants coming in here. He says right before they're about to have the baby, they cross the border, they come here, they get, they have a baby, and then they get that American citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously a loophole, and it sounds wrong. I mean, you know, I don't know if it's against the law, but it, I mean, it is against the law to come in here illegally by definition. But... but whether to deny someone American citizenship or not based on that is very debatable. So people are talking about it, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, a lot of people that are attacking Trump are not getting the point. He's talking about illegal immigrants, not immigration that is done the right way. And
what does he want to do, though, in terms of immigration? Does he want to make it harder for people to immigrate, or what is his plan for that?
Well, obviously he wants to make it... No, he says he welcomes people that go through the system, you know. But people that come here illegally, he wants to build a wall. Like Israel built a wall against terrorists. Here he wants to do it, you know, a 10-foot wall that people can't get through. And he wants Mexico to pay for it. I just don't know how he's going to compel them to do it other than putting sanctions on them and saying, we're not going to... trade with you unless you do this.
I mean, if we want the wall so bad, why don't we build the wall?
Well, because it does cost a lot of money, and he's figuring out, you know, he's always thinking about the money and stuff.
Right.
That's another thing. He's asking, why are we not, I mean, we spend so much time and human life and efforts and money on defending countries like Iraq and stuff, and they don't even bother paying us even a little bit back, and they have a lot of money from their oil fields.
Right.
So he's asking, why are they not, you know, footing some of the bill here? So I can understand that. I mean, you always have to wonder about, you know. He says it's a problem that the Mexican government has to deal with as well, which is true. You know, I mean, think about them. You know, they're letting all these people leave. Do they ever wonder why are these people leaving? Maybe we can fix our system a little bit. You know,
it doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, so maybe they want the people to leave, and in that case, Donald Trump says, "Well, we don't want them. We don't want illegals."
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, so that's Trump. But he's taken on a lot of people. He says that Hillary Clinton, you know, it's a serious thing. And he says that he thinks a bigger problem is not really the election, but a criminal side of it, you know, because that's what we're forgetting, that whatever she's being accused of is criminal. So, you know, using her own email for official work or whatever.
So how will that go away? Or will she just be running for president while dealing with this, like, a trial?
That's what they're doing. Well,
how can you do that?
She's running while they're dealing with the investigation. I don't know if there'll be a trial, but I'm sure once that happens, she's probably not going to run if that happens.
Mm.
That's going to be a precedent. I mean, I haven't seen that, you know. I mean, you know, they reprimanded General Petraeus when they found out that he was using email, and he actually gave away some secrets, I think, even
right.
to his lover.
Who wrote a book, right?
Right. Yeah. So, but he just got reprimanded. I don't know what's going to happen with her. It all depends on how deep the rabbit hole goes, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's interesting times.
It really is, you know, and I don't know. I mean, it seems like you listen to the politicians and I don't really get their positions or anything, you know. So I look forward to always hearing what Trump says. And he opened his himself up to questions, which was the first time. Yeah.
So are you a fan of his? Is that what you're
I'm not
saying?
A fan of his. What I'm doing is I'm starting to investigate his platform. I'm reading his books. I'm listening to him, and I want to see what he has to say. And what I'm saying is, so far, there's a lot of things that I can agree with him on. And I think that our other politicians are not addressing it the way he is. So I'm not here to say I'm going to vote for him yet. It's way too soon. But I don't see how it's going to turn around. So I'm just curious why a majority of the Republicans are polling for him. Like, what is it that I don't know yet? Mm-hmm. You know? And it's very interesting to read. I mean, he's talking again about oil, about OPEC and how they control us and with the oil and everything. And he says it doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't. And you know? I feel like we know that, but for whatever reason, we're not doing anything about it.
Right. I mean, all these countries, the only reason they're strong is because they have all this oil. They have nothing else to offer.
Right.
Third world countries. And they hold the world by the testicles with all that oil. But apparently, you know, so he talks about other sources of energy and so forth. So all I can tell you, though, is this book was written in 2011, like right before the 2012 elections. And, you know, he was trying to make people see some of the weaknesses of the Obama administration. But, I mean, this is stuff he wrote 4 years ago, and when we didn't think of him as a political figure. So apparently he's thought about these things, and I don't know. Nobody's saying the things that he's saying, and I don't mind him being a little crass and stuff, and he's not polite, and he takes his gloves off. But you know what? That doesn't bother me. Maybe it's time to do that rather than just tiptoe around the issues all the time.
I agree. I don't think we always have to be so polite. I think, you know, passion also gets you there, too.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we have to be considerate of the fact that if it's somebody that's going to speak to other nations and possibly offend people or not be taken seriously because of the way they present information, that's a different story. But I don't know that everyone has to play nice in the sandbox all the time either and right. be so politically correct all the time.
Right. I think, I mean, essentially what he says is that we need to project a strong America, and we have not been perceived as strong, which is true.
Well, what does he think is strong? What is it? What is the perception that he believes
by not appeasing other countries? Like I mentioned China yesterday, and he says to strong arm them and everything because they're taking advantage of us through manipulating their money and espionage and so forth, and then OPEC with the oil and everything, and allies that we're protecting that should pick up the bill. And that's only so much of what I read in the book.
Yeah.
There's a lot more, I'm sure. He hasn't even gotten really to that much foreign policy with the Middle East yet, but or from what I've read so far. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Speaking of other billionaires, the top 10 billionaires under 35 came out.
Under 35?
Yeah.
Wow. 10. Who are they? I can think of some. I guess all these.
Do you want to guess who they are? Or what companies they started or work for?
Yeah, I mean, the ones that we know, like Zuckerberg, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Facebook, right?
He's number one with $41.6 billion.
What's his first name, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. How much?
$41.6
billion. Wow. Wow.
You want to guess any others?
Well, I don't know all of them by name, but I would say, you know, CEOs of companies like maybe Twitter and Instagram and all those.
Nope.
No?
Mm-mm.
Wow. So I'm just thinking technology, but I guess there's a
lot of other technology on here. Airbnb has three people on here.
Really?
Yeah.
Three billionaires on Airbnb.
All at Airbnb. $3 billion.
Wow.
Because I would guess they're equal partners.
Yeah.
Someone from Heinz and Moritz. Thomas Pearson, $2.7 billion. A couple companies I don't know of.
I mean, these are numbers we can't even comprehend.
No, they're all in the billions. I mean, well, here's the thing. Mark Zuckerberg's at $41.6 billion, and then the next person is at $9.3
billion. Oh, wow.
So that's a big difference.
Big gap.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg is just in a league of his own, clearly.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Wow.
But then it goes into, like, you know, the next 10, which is, like, includes the Snapchat co-creator, Evan Spiegel. At 25, he is the youngest person on the top 20. He's at 15th place with $1.9 billion.
Not too bad at all.
No.
Not too bad.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Things to, you know, strive for, I think, because when you think about it, most of these people are college dropouts. There's more, not most, but more than one on this list is a college dropout.
Right. But how many of those really make it like that? You know, I mean, it's very, very few.
I mean, how many college dropouts?
No. How many people become billionaires at a young age? You know, so it's very special people.
Right. And if you want it, you should probably, not you, but like the general you, like strive to do whatever they're doing, like study and research and figure out their what worked for them.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, you have to wonder how people come up with this stuff, you know, and how they become so rich. You know, it's unbelievable. And some people, it's almost like embarrassing, I don't know, not to be someone like that. Don't you think? I mean, here's a guy who's 25 years old. He's worth $43 billion. I've been around longer than him. I'm struggling to pay the bills and everything. And you go, gee, I feel really stupid next to this guy.
I mean,
guy.
I guess when you put it like that, it is embarrassing. But then there's also still the rest of your life.
That's true.
And you can still do so many things with that. Like what he had at his fingertips with technology is different than what you had at that time.
Right.
You could go develop time, something now.
Yeah. But he, yeah, that's true. But, yeah, you have to be the right place at the right time, have the information. And, yeah, I mean, how many people would have thought about starting a social network before it was even called that?
I don't know. It makes sense that he did it. And then you look at these ideas, and the ones that are so great are the ones we all look at, and we're like, shit, I could have created that.
Right.
Like, that's not something I didn't think about. It's not something that, like, I couldn't have thought about, because it's something we all need. But right. Somebody else went and did it.
Right. And they went and did something about it. They didn't just think about it. Yeah.
Takes action.
It does. It does. And money. But he started.
You can raise money.
Yeah. And he started from nothing, really. I mean, that's the classic example of starting with nothing.
I love it.
You know? Just like in college, he started doing this.
Well, also, you know, where people have an easier time in creating apps is if they actually have a programmer or they are one themselves.
Right. Yeah. Well, you always want to be able to do something yourself, but you don't have to, you know.
Right. And you can outsource.
Yeah. Get the money and stuff, you know. Like a first website I did myself, but the new one we're working on is very complicated. There's no way I could do it myself. So you hire people to do
right.
it. Right.
You know? So when will we be seeing that website?
Soon. And the reason is because I never took into account how long it would take to put in all the archives. And I don't want to launch a site that doesn't have all the past shows on it. So I have two people in India working on this.
Yeah, but like, why would, like, okay, so this station's been around 7 years.
Right.
At least have the first year up. Like, do you really need the year before? Who's really looking for that?
People do. People listen to
In this
to all
moment,
this stuff.
Somebody, like you, like, let's say you launch today. In a week from now, somebody might go look for, like, 2 years from now. Like, why
what
don't
you
do...
What do you mean if I just launched?
Like, why don't you launch the website and then have them working behind the scenes,
to
updating
the...
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's fair to the hosts, you know? I mean, the hosts, like, count their downloads and everything, and they want to know that people are downloading their stuff.
So you're saying they would start from scratch again?
Well, we have. Who would start from scratch?
The host. So, like, their archives, like, would start, like, they would have.
No, it would be the same way it is now.
Right.
It's just going to be on a new site. So, you know, it's like from the most recent going back.
Right.
And stuff. But, yeah, I just wanted to have it a complete. I didn't want to do a half-assed website. So, I'm predicting, you know, in a couple weeks. Just have to. It's funny because that's the one thing I did not take into account, which is stupid because that's the meat of our website is the archives. That's where all our stuff, all our content, and I didn't realize how long it would take. But you're talking about, and you know, Jen, it's not all the shows we've had. It's just the shows that are still running and have... you know, and some of them have like 7 years worth of archives. So I was counting about 12,000 files that you have to enter one at a time. So that takes a while, yeah. I have two people in India working on it nonstop. So I think another week or two.
Amazing.
Yeah. But my point was that, you know, if you can't do it yourself, you hire somebody who
right.
can do it. And I was always skeptical about it. But you don't have a choice. If you want an app, like you said, It's a lot of technical stuff. It's not easy, but it shouldn't keep you from having to come up with your idea and implement it and stuff. So I'm still waiting for your app. I can't wait for that.
Well,
is it always going to be relevant, though? I mean, you know, what if you wait too long? And it's
well,
like,
we're not waiting on purpose.
Yeah, I know.
We are possibly going to do an incubator and go that route. We're going to reach out to a couple more people, see if they want to invest. And then if they do, we do that. And if they don't, we go to the incubator route.
And what about Kickstarter and that?
No, you
don't want to try that?
No, that takes too long and you can't raise enough money that way.
Mm. Well, it depends on what, though. Some people have, you know, and like this millions of dollars.
We're not going to do that.
Okay.
Because for that, we would just, for the people that we would send the Kickstarter link to, we're going to send the information directly anyway.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Well, cool. I mean, I'm sure you've given it a lot of thought, so I'm just excited for you, and I'd like to see it come out.
I'm working on it most of this weekend.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. At this day and age, you got to do everything quickly. Because everything moves so quickly, you know?
Yep.
And, I mean, I obviously don't know what you're doing, but some things can just be not relevant if you wait like a year or two, you know?
Right.
They might be like,
yeah, oh, we're not waiting that long.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. I think we covered just about everything. And, I guess... this is funny. I just caught this headline, but I guess Trump said that Heidi Klum is no longer a 10. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No.
But I don't know. I still think she looks like a 10, but he's not afraid to talk, and I don't mind that at all.
I just wonder, like, if you ask him what makes him the aficionado on 10s.
Yeah.
His wife is gorgeous.
I don't think he claims that. He just says, that's my opinion.
Okay, so he actually does say, that's my opinion.
Well, yeah. I didn't hear him say that. But yeah, that's his... I mean, if someone tells you, I think she's a 10 or something, that's obviously their opinion, you know. It's not something that is a fact or anything.
You'd be surprised, though. Some people think that their opinion is fact.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Tomorrow's Friday, so we'll see you then.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.